us drawing near to God. And I think maybe this book of Habakkuk will be one such that will help us this morning. I want to read in chapter 1. Let me read just the first four verses. So when you find Habakkuk, would you give me an amen? Here we go. Verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. How long shall I cry? O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. I'll stop the reading right there and just give you a little bit of a background on it. The book of Habakkuk is interesting. It's what we call one of the minor prophets, M-I-N-O-R. Now, it's not, in really one respect, there's nothing minor about any of the minor prophets. They're just called that because they're smaller books in length. They're not very long. They're usually just a few chapters, and they're not that many words in each chapter. They're not major prophets like Isaiah or Jeremiah, which are much longer and bigger books. So among the minor prophets, it would seem that Habakkuk stands out, to me anyway, as one of the most honest and upfront guys. One of the problems that he wrestles with in this book, and he calls it in verse 1, his burden. I mean, everybody has their own forms of burdens in life, but a specific burden that he shares, it's like it so weighs upon him. It's a burden that he carries, and it becomes so heavy, if you will, that he is led by the Spirit of God to write it down and share it with other people. Let me tell you what's on my heart. Let me tell you what I'm bothered about. Maybe you would fall in that category. Surely some things bother you in life. One of the things that bothered him was this. He knew that Israel, his nation, was not everything it ought to be. His nation, Israel, had sinned greatly against God through idolatry and greed and rebellion. And every other sin you could just about imagine, Israel had plunged headlong into it, worshiping false gods. As a result of that, he knew that a holy God, which he mentions later in chapter number 1 in verse 13, he says, thou art, speaking of God, of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. His point is, I know you're a holy God, and you're going to judge sin. And if it's happened in my nation, I know you're going to judge the sin in our nation. Okay, let's apply that to America. Do we not agree that there is rampant sin in our country? I mean, we can name a lot of them, and I don't have time to do that today. But if you were to think about the gross sins that we have, surely idolatry would be one of them. Surely greed would be another one of them. Rebellion against God and His Word would have to fall in that category. And we understand that God is going to judge a nation for its sins. Habakkuk knew this about his country. But what troubled him was this, that God was going to use a more wicked nation to judge Israel. He was going to bring in the Babylonians, and they were going to conquer the nation of Judah and haul them off into captivity. And one of the questions and problems and things that troubled Habakkuk was, I know you got to judge us, but why ain't you judging them? I mean, there's more wicked people than we are. And why wouldn't you bring judgment down upon them? Instead, you're going to use them sort of as your tool to whip us with and punish us with, a nation far more wicked than we are. And so it presents the idea of some things that trouble Habakkuk. And it's interesting that his name has two meanings. One name, or one meaning for the name of Habakkuk, is wrestling. Now, I'm not talking about WWE or whatever y'all might be thinking of, or, you know, the great Shalinko or whoever it might be that you remember from the past that might be a great wrestler. Or as we say down south, wrestling. We put an A in it where there's an E, but it's wrestling. That's one meaning of his name. And the other is embracing. Sort of like when you get wrapped up and grappling with someone, I guess you're in the point of embracing. And it's as if to me Habakkuk moves from, there's only three chapters. Chapter 1, he starts with wrestling with this problem that he don't understand. How can a holy God use an unholy nation to punish His people? It doesn't make sense to him. And so the first thing I would tell you is that this prophet who's wrestling, there's three things I want to give you this morning real quickly from each of the chapters. We'll glance at them quickly and move on. The first is, why was he burdened? Now, you say, well, you just got through explaining that. Well, let me go a little bit further. Difficulties And unfair circumstances are always going to happen in life. Have you not yourself had a question at God occasionally of why are you doing this? Or God, it doesn't make sense to me. Or have you ever thought that God was unfair in not only how He might have treated you, but how He might have treated somebody else that you knew? And you look at them and think, as good a people as they seem to be, why has some bad things happened in their life? We can all understand when somebody's bad, something bad happens. But what about when bad things happen to good people? Folks that we love and respect, and we hate to see them go through some misery. We have the same kind of a burden, but here's our problem. And this is why Habakkuk was burdened, and I think it's why we get burdened. We often look at it through the wrong eyes. When we're looking at it only through the eyes of our head, and we're looking at it only on this level right here, we only see, sort of like Leah's song said, we're only seeing the valley and the hardship and the burden. We don't see the blessing that's going to come out of it later on. We've got to learn to look at things through these eyes, the eyes of the Word of God of what this book lays before us. God is a holy God, and God will judge sin. But you can mark this down. We don't have to be burdened and troubled to the point that we're ready to give up. And folks do this. They give up on life. They give up on God. They begin to blame Him for their struggles and hardships. And Habakkuk, just like us, was troubled because he was looking at things through the wrong eyes. I think he was also troubled because he was rushing God. He wanted everything to be done just like you'd snap your fingers. And life just is not that way. Sometimes it takes months, and sometimes it takes years, and sometimes it might take decades before God's plan works itself out through the long run of the process. Can you imagine how America may have felt in December the 7th, 1941, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor and it looked like everything was at a complete end? We'd already fought one world war and we're about to get into another one. But I promise you this, as long as we don't rush God and give Him time, some great things can come out of even hardships and tragedies. He was troubled. I get troubled. I'm sure you do too, when I don't see God act fast enough to satisfy me. Now, Lord, I know You can fix this, and I know You're probably going to, but I want it done right now. We live in a day of instant coffee and instant service, and we want everything to be as quickly as we can snap our fingers, but God doesn't always work that way. I would suggest to you another reason the prophet's troubled is because he listened to bad news too much. Now, listen, news didn't travel as fast in Habakkuk's day as it does ours. But I found this out. If you even watch too much of Fox News on television, you can get depressed, and they're the most conservative one. I don't even care about watching any of the others, but I found this to be true, Brother Jesse. If I watch too much Fox News, I can get depressed because they get in that mode of telling you everything negative and everything bad. Listen, there still is a God in heaven, and God still is running the show. He's still in control, and I don't need to let all the bad news bring me down. Why was he troubled? Same reason I'm troubled, because I'm not satisfied with the justice of God. I think God isn't fair. But I don't know everything God knows. And you don't know everything God knows. And so I might as well just lay it in His hands. I think Habakkuk went through avenues and down roads where he questioned God. Again, it's why are you doing this? Why are you doing it right now? Why are you doing it to me? He had that. Maybe you've never questioned God. Has anything ever gone wrong in your life? Anything ever gone a little bit sideways? I don't mean something big like bankruptcy or maybe your whole life and family fell apart. I mean just something simple. I've told y'all before about me getting upset at a baked potato till I like lost my testimony. My wife and I, we were up in Savannah last night. I preached up there at Savannah River Baptist Church. And as we were coming back, we stopped by Sonic. I love the shakes at Sonic. You know, I did. And I got me a large strawberry shake. Well, it's like, you know, 5 gallons of strawberry mixed ice cream. I love it. And I was reminded about getting really, really frustrated one time. I got a straight shake there. I came home. I remember getting out of the car, and I was trying to open the back door, and I had my hands full. And as I reached up, I squeezed just a little bit on that milkshake that I had. I'd hardly eaten any of it whatsoever, and tried to open the door and drop the blame thing on the ground. And of course, my wife's one of them, said, well, just pick it up. It'll be all right. No, it ain't going to be all right. Telling me how to do everything. And then, I don't know if you've ever done anything like that, but the first thing you want to do is just, I just kicked it under the car. Care nothing about the stupid thing. And you know what? You begin thinking something like this. Now, why'd God let that happen to me? It's a stinking milkshake. Does it really matter how it happened? But at the moment, some of y'all probably tried to fix something around the house. It might be your pump. It might be your air conditioner. It might be getting a tractor that got stuck. I mean, Paul, it could be a number of things. And you get a little bit frustrated along the way and you begin to think this. Now, why is God doing this to me? Get out of there. Fix yourself. You know, where ain't somebody here to help me? We got all these different problems that we expect to be solved immediately. And we question God about the dumbest things, the silliest things that ain't gonna matter in eternity. Why was this prophet of God troubled? The same reason we get troubled. He questioned God. He thought things weren't fair. He looked through the wrong eyes. He listened to too much negative news. He rushed God. And he often compared God to man. And God is not a man that he could be compared to man in that regard. So, first of all, he's troubled. Maybe you are. Secondly, chapter number 2 reveals to us not just why the prophet was troubled, but when he was taught. When I get to chapter 2, I'll read verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. If I could paraphrase that a little bit, it'd be something like this. I looked at things and then I stopped and realized I need to be taught. Can I suggest something to you? No matter how old you get in life, you're still going to always need to learn something. I can remember, I mentioned it last night and probably said it here a time or two. Do you remember your first job and how maybe you started and you thought you knew everything? Do you remember when you first got married? Though everybody else was giving you advice, you thought this. They don't know what they're talking about. I know more than they do. People that are 30, 40 years older than you have done been through a bunch of troubles and they've been through ups and downs and they're just trying to help you. Remember when you had your first child and you thought this? I got this. I know what I'm doing. My mama don't know what she... The older ladies in the church trying to help me out, they don't know what they're talking about. I know what I'm doing. Now, some of y'all don't remember back, but there was an era of time when they weren't Pampers. There was an era of time when people actually used cloth diapers. You had to use a pen, a literal safety pen. Of course, it wasn't real safe when you open it and jab it into a kid's behind. How do you know when you hit their behind? Ah! Because they scream. Well, how did you learn to do it? Well, you know, you either learn how to do it or they develop a callus in the same place and then it doesn't hurt quite as bad. And we know how it is. Some of you ladies do. You know how it is to take care of those diapers and wash them and hang them out on the line. You know, after about 3 or 4 weeks, they've kind of faded from white to a light yellow. Or a light brown, whatever it may be. But we know that. But those days are pretty much gone in this era that we live in. But can you remember when you first started your family? The first child came along and maybe it's the first boy, maybe it's the first girl. But whichever it was, you thought you knew everything. And you learned as you got a little bit older that you didn't know everything. When I was 13 and my dad would say things like, no, you're not going to do that. I thought my daddy didn't have any sense. I knew what I was doing. I was 13. When I became 21, 25, 30, it's amazing how smart my daddy got. He never did go back to school. What happened was I learned that my daddy and my mama knew a little bit more than I did. Habakkuk has to learn this. You know when he was taught, when he learned something, he learned to trust God, as it says in verse 4, the just shall live by faith. He learned that when he stopped teaching and started listening. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are, you do not know everything. He begins in this chapter, I think, to stop his struggling and wrestling with God and begins to embrace the Lord. I've argued with you, I've fussed with you, I don't like the way you're doing things. I'm upset and troubled and burdened by the way things are happening in my life. I mean, sometimes it just looks like everything's falling apart around me and around our country. And God, I'm wrestling. Why are you doing this? And he struggled with that idea. But now he wraps his arm around the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. And then we move to chapter number 3. And if you'd let me move to the end of it, I would say this, that now he gets to the point of saying that, who does the prophet think in the end? He was troubled. He was taught. And then begins to offer some thanksgiving. I move to the end of the chapter. If you look at verse 18, he says, yet, there's a lot wrapped up in that word we don't have time to talk about. It's in the face of everything I've been going through and all the troubles that me, my family, my nation has faced. And yet in the middle of all of that, even if God does not deliver His nation, even if the nation does not get any better, even if things continue to go downhill, in spite of all of that, I'm still going to have my trust in the Lord. Now, would you write this down somewhere, if nothing else, just up in your brain, write this down, that there's going to be things that happen in life that you don't understand, but you got to trust God anyway. I told you I was preaching over in Savannah last night at Savannah River Baptist Church. Most of y'all don't even know who I'm talking about. Pastor there is Dale Montgomery. This is the church that Gabe Stover worked at there for about 2 years, helping get the church started there at Port Wentworth. And then they moved down here, him and Amy. And after being here for like 6 months with us at the age of 29, the Lord called Gabe home. Now, we all know Gabe, but you didn't know that church up there that he helped probably. But they're going strong now after some 7 years, a fruit of Gabe's work. But Gabe was faithful to serve God up there, a great young man trying to rear his family for God, had a child on the way, and 2 months before the baby, for those of you who don't know, 2 months before the baby was born, fixed coming up on 5 years ago, the Lord called Gabe home at 29 years of age. Can you explain that to me? Can you tell me why that happened? Aren't there some more wicked people in the world that God should have let die instead of Gabe? I mean, far as I'm concerned, to this day, I don't really understand. I can't explain it to you. I don't have the answers. And everybody, listen, Dr. Phil and Oprah ain't got the answers either. Nobody has those answers. You might even read the Bible all the way through and still not discover the answer except for this. When you can't understand God and what He's doing, you still got to trust Him anyway. I don't understand everything about an internal combustion engine, but I'm fine to crank it and drive. I don't understand everything about electricity, but I'm very fine to flip the switch and the light comes on. I don't have to understand everything, but I sure do get the benefit of stuff I don't understand. You get a lot more benefit from the hand of God if you'd quit trying to understand everything He's doing in your life and in the world. Now, maybe He'll explain it to you, but if He doesn't, you still just need to trust Him even in those dark moments. And at the end of the road, you just say, Lord, I want to thank You for my salvation. And that's what he says in verse 18. Yet, in spite of all that I don't get and understand, I will rejoice in the Lord, not the circumstances. Nobody's glad when your world falls apart, but I know the Lord does not change even though our circumstances do. I will joy in the God of my salvation. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you do not have salvation, as we would say it, you're never going to be able to make it through some of the toughest times in life until you have the Lord to lean upon. Even if America does not get any better, God is to be praised. Even if all the circumstances do not change, God is to be praised. Even in the middle of all of our trials and valleys and deep moments in life, even when everything does not get better, and we pray that it does, we want it to, but even if it does not, God is to be thanked that He reached down and saved our soul from an eternal hell. You can always say this, I thank God for my salvation. I'm going through a rough time. I don't know what's coming down the road. It might get rougher. But I can still praise God that He saved my soul from hell. It's a joy to know this much. No matter what goes on in life, God is in control, even when we don't understand it. Let's pray together.